ده هيبقى سي تاريخ كده كده.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوا على النبي الكريم.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
It gives me immense pleasure to be part of this historic event, and I stand by existing protocols, the names of those who will be participating in the symposium. I feel we miss Professor Chidi Odunkalu. One, because he's the chair of the National Human Rights Commission in our country, and I have known him to be a consistent defender of human rights long before the government singled him out for this position. And we have missed the contribution he will have made, but I'm sure those who are taking his place will do justice to the topic. Likewise, Barrister Festus Okoye, we've been working with him in Kaduna, we worked with him under Network for Justice, and are still working with him in a couple of just causes for humanity. I know we'll miss his own contribution too, but the vacuum will be filled, I'm most certain, and inshallah, by the resource persons who are taking the slots allocated to him. One thing I just want to mention, given the topic, we are looking at Al-Quds and we are looking at the movement to Zaria, the similarity in the oppression and conspiracy of silence, violation of rights, duplicity and double speak. One item that struck me, and recently I saw it, it was circulated in 2012, but I saw it recently, it was shared in, on an internet group. It tells us that Henry Kissinger, and I'm sure you will remember him for his shuttle over the Palestinian issue and the issue of Gaza Strip, the issue of settlement, illegal settlement in Palestine, etc. He was doing shuttle diplomacy a couple of decades back. Many people remember him and identify him with the Middle East peace process. Henry Kissinger was a former secretary, is a former Secretary of State, and he said, in 10 years, Israel will cease to exist.
As experienced, as explained by various thinkers, Israel will sustain. You know, writers and thinkers of our time, they say that there is no tyranny today worse than the issue of usurpation of Palestine. We know that prior to the creation of the illegal state of Israel, the Jews were clamoring for an independent state because they were suffering persecution in Europe, and it was obvious because of their cunning, devilish, and you know, brutal nature. They were seen as an embodiment, and if the Europeans felt that the Jews were being persecuted, why didn't they create a homeland for them in Europe? However, they had many postulations. The idea the Jews had was to create an independent homeland, and they had different propositions, as you are aware. You know, different ideas. One of the alternatives they thought of was to find a place in Africa, particularly in Uganda. They also thought of going to Latin America, that is Argentina. They also thought of finding a homeland in the activities of the illegal state of Israel. You know, how true is it that they have any religious or moral or social justification for their deeds? And more important, so we'll be interested to hear from him his take as far as, you know, these atrocities, those atrocities of Israel, and more importantly, and most importantly, what needs to be done as far as these atrocities are concerned. Thank you very much.
All protocol observed, I want to thank each and every one of you that is present here. I want to thank the organizers of this, and I thank the spiritual leader, Sheikh Ibrahim Ezekiel, for all the privileges that he has given me. What I want to say here from what Sheikh has rightly said
actually the history of what is happening and trying to do what he cannot do except go rather than Jew. So there are Christians, whether among the Palestinians, that they don't support what Israel are doing. And there are other Christians all over the world where they are doing this. What the Christian believe is that maybe one day, when Christ will be there, he will liberate the land. And the state of Palestine will continue the way it is. But we are foreseen from the biblical prophecies, there will be a new war, there will be a new shedding of blood. What people are crying that ISIS are doing in the Middle East is just a child play. They are yet to fight, and there will be a new shedding of blood. And the entire Jews, from all indication, they will one day succumb because of that. Because somewhere in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 10, somewhere around 27, the Lord was talking about the covenant, that one day Jews will enter into a covenant of peace, a peace pact, whereby they will not raise any weapon or anything to fight their neighbors. But at the tail end, they'll discover a different thing entirely, whereby they'll ever regret the rest of their life, because they denied Jesus who came, and are still waiting for a Jesus that is to came to come up in the near future. And at the tail end, they'll discover that there's a person may be a deceiver called the Antichrist. So I want to say, in a nutshell, the problem of Palestine will still remain based on biblical position until Christ come, and the Jewish people will be deceived one day, and they will surrender all their weapons. Maybe it was
that impressionism that has nothing to do with the physical Israel, but the spirit of hate, the spirit of tertiary, the spirit of political manipulations and double standards that has its headquarters in Washington, D.C. and in the United Nations Organization. That is why the topic, it is indeed a conspiracy of silence. And one of our prolific writers, a human rights activist in his own right too, a modern right, wrote in his book, The Man Died. And I said to a lot of my girlfriend, I said, look, if I were to be in Islam, I would have been on the shite. Because the truth started in the Republic of Iran unnoticeably. It is engulfing the whole world. And it is pushing out light today. It is not for nothing that all the super nations of the world engages Iran in dialogue over nuclear or no nuclear. It is the power of the truth revealing itself. And at the end of the day, between the political Israel and the Islamic Republic of Iran, or LNDC, and in the headquarters of the capital cities of Western nations, we collapse and fall flat to its face. It will be the victory of love, the victory of truth, the victory of light, and the victory of God. Now today, a phenomenon is ravaging the world, and the world is silent. Those who know pretended not to know. The IS were trained, indoctrinated, financed, and dumped into Syria. In order to destroy the front of what they call resistance. But today, the same people who trained them and dumped them there, they are the same people bombing them. And they are bombing them and clandestinely giving them arms. Let me say this. The United States, the the Britain and the France, the Canada,
a lot of the people who hang around power in this country today kept quiet and kept telling General Abacha that without him there would be no Nigerian. There were very few Nigerians who had the courage to say that was wrong, and there were very few Nigerians who had the courage to speak the truth. Foremost amongst them was Sheikh El-Zak Zaki. It's important to remind us falsehood then. We'll speak falsehood to the man in power today, and we'll wait for the next person to say the same nonsense to them. And that is why we need to stand with people who speak the truth, and that is why whatever it took me, I wanted to be sure I was here today as an act of solidarity. Because Al-Quds Day is not just a day in commemoration and to celebrate with the Palestinian people and the entitlement to the holy city of Jerusalem. It's also a day of solidarity with oppressed people everywhere and people who are oppressed by those who don't speak the truth or recognize it. And part of not speaking the truth and not recognizing it is also using a knife to cover us up. You are this and I am that. You are from there, I am from there. And you are this and the other one. Let me make a personal confession, because there's also a second reason why I am here. The coordinator of this meeting, of the group that's putting this wonderful commemoration together, is Dr. Shaibu. ISIS is evil, we must all condemn it. Boko Haram is evil, we must all condemn what they're doing. Shabab is evil, we condemn what they do. Aqim is evil, we condemn what they do. We have a responsibility to root out the kinds of those kinds of groups and those kinds of ideologies. That's very important. But there are limits to the powers of global hegemons. There are limits to the powers of those who think they can hold oppressed people down. And in truth, we find multiple versions. And so today, we have to share solidarity with the people of Palestine. That's very important. That I believe in. It is impossible to live as a free citizen when you are stateless, and the Palestinians are stateless. It is also impossible to live as a neighbor to a country without borders that wants you to live in dots on the map. And I firmly believe in the two-state solution. I do think that we need to advocate for it, and I think it is too late, and the world has to take it a little more seriously, a lot more seriously. That is one half of solidarity. The other half of solidarity is with the Shiite community in Nigeria. Because the Shiite community in Nigeria has faced considerable oppression. And it is heartwarming to see the faith and the solidarity of this community. And its belief in truth and justice. And its commitment to truth and justice. And that's why it's important to also share solidarity with it. From the side of the National Human Rights Commission, we are committed to defending everybody on the territory of Nigeria, irrespective of origins, irrespective of where they come from, irrespective of who they worship or how they do so. The only thing is that the people find themselves on the territory of Nigeria. That is what our constitution says, and that we will not negotiate. I'm not interested in what color people are, what they wear, how they wear it. As long as they live peacefully in our country, we owe them a duty to fully protect and defend them. And let me say this finally.
Moving on Nigeria, it really, their whole approach really moved me, especially on one of the occasions when we or at the house of Sheikh Sakisaki, and the two Christian sisters came to give their condolences to the community. And I had the privilege of interviewing them. And I asked them, knowing that the situation between the Christian community and the Muslim community in Nigeria is not always what it should be. And indeed, there are conflicts very often. And I asked, what is the relationship between them and the movement? And they said that, look, people from the Islamic movement have always been supportive of us. Whenever there are difficulties, these people come to our house and they guard our house, make sure nobody attacks us, nobody else. Which indeed any army, first and foremost duty is to protect its own citizens. It actually becomes the target. We need to rise up to that. But also I think, you know, at a time like this, I really need to create to stand up for the oppressed people of Palestine. And indeed today, right now, I don't know how many of you know, there are in Masjid al-Aqsa, there are attacks being made against the youth there. And a number have been injured, arrested. And right now, there's this conflict going on, and every day that conflict goes on, and that conflict is part and parcel of our responsibility to stand up for justice all around the world, no matter who is the oppressor and who is the oppressed. And from that point of view, I would like to be a witness that the people in Nigeria have rise up to that challenge and discharge that responsibility. Once again, I wish with the bottom of my heart I was with you, I hope that you have a good conference, and this would be one way of standing in support of our brothers, but also standing against the oppression that is being created in Nigeria and bringing to justice those who betrayed this.
Alhamdulillah, that brings us to the end of our symposium, and I believe we can easily conclude by saying that from the contributions of our various speakers, it is true that the issue of Al-Quds, the issue of Palestine, is a global issue. It is an international issue. It crosses across the boundaries of race, color, creed, or any dichotomies. And also we can see in conclusion that definitely the issue of Al-Quds, the issue of Palestine, are in front of us. So they will need the process after they have taken their own food and find the seat to sit down. Then we will take the order of ranking according to the roles we have. But for the sisters, I have that there is a role for the sisters, so the sisters can also join the other side of the door and take their own food, because they also have a designated space that was given to them. So after the members of the high table, we are going to take the first role. We are here to join the members of the high table in taking their food. Please, we are doing this in order to control the situation. The ball for the lunch break is a little bit small and it can't accommodate everyone. So we can accommodate all of you, inshallah, on that day. Okay, finally, I would like to call our Madam Nasr Zafi to say something about Barista Masood, then we'll round up this session. Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Auzubillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, what I'm going to say about Gordon Singh is something very quick. For those of us who do not know him very well, I would like to start by saying that Brother Masood is an Iranian British national, and he is an expert on international human relations, and he's been. You would like to know that it's only 5 years, 5 months age difference with our Imam Muhammad Al-Asim from the United Nations, from the United States, and Brother Muhammad, Brother Masood Shajri has been an activist, Islamic activist, and also working with the since during the Kalim Siddiq, late Kalim Siddiq, with the Muslim Institute in London.
I was going to do it.